turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I want to continue to build on Sunday school. This morning in Sunday school, we were looking at five smooth stones in a shepherd's bag. We talked about Bible study, prayer, church attendance, witnessing, and giving. As a pastor and as an evangelistic preacher, as I move around from church to church, I believe that one of the things that God has called me to do is to challenge the church. And my conviction is the basics. Because my observation is that most of us as Christians are not doing the basics. We're not doing the basics. And that's where we're failing. We're too interested in what's going on the inside and not enough about what's going on the outside. And that is the loss. Here in Matthew chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "My son." Isn't that endearing? That is so endearing that God calls us his sons, his children. He calls us saints. You know, here in life, oftentimes we elect nicknames. Every place I go, I receive business cards. We're so concerned with titles, and I'm Pastor so-and-so, and I'm Governor so-and-so, or whatever your title might be. But thank God that those of us who are born again, God calls us sons. He calls us disciples. He calls us saints. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. The Bible says, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the word of God. The Bible says, Lord, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the very intentions of the heart. And neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, Lord, bless in these next few moments. Illumine us, Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Illumine us, O Lord, we pray. And we'll praise you for it, Lord. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my brief message this morning is Applying the Word of God. Applying the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is so important. It's not just enough to know it. We have to do it. In the King James Bible, over in the New Testament, it calls it your conversation. The Bible has a lot to say about the walk of the believer. We ought to be applying the Word of God. We ought to be doing that moment by moment. Knowledge is good, but a vast difference stands between knowledge, that is having the facts, and wisdom, that is applying those facts to life. We may amass knowledge, but without wisdom, our knowledge is useless. We must learn how to live out what we know. The Bible says in James chapter 1, and I won't have you turn there for the sake of time, but the Bible says in James 1 and verses 22 to 25, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." The church is filled with deceived people. They think because they have a good pastor or because they listen to the word of God, they're okay. But my friend, I want you to know, you are a step short. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Now listen to this illustration. This illustration proves to me that God doesn't like deceived Christians who think just hearing a good pastor is enough. In fact, I'll be real honest with you in telling you, I've preached many, many sermons, and I've stood at doors, and I've stood at altars, and I've had people to come up and shake my hand until my shoulder gets sore. "Oh, that was a great message. Oh, pastor, that was good." Well, if it's all that good, what's wrong with the church in America? What's wrong with the church? It cannot be all that good. By the way, I'll tell you something. I'm not here to entertain. I know I got a big mouth. Amen. I got a big mouth. But you need a big mouth when you're a preacher. Amen. You need a big mouth. But let me tell you something. I'm not here to entertain you. I am here to challenge you. Because I want you to understand something. I'm challenged myself. Amen. I'm talking this morning about applying the word of God. And it's not just enough to know. The Bible says you need to be a doer. Now listen to this illustration in the book of James. The Bible says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know what God is saying here? For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He's a fool. He's a fool. I go away thinking I'm Michael Jordan. I go to the mirror and brush my hair. Walk away thinking I'm Michael. Amen. One big difference is the money. Amen. I don't have the fun. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. This is the perfect law of liberty. But you got to continue in it. You have to continue. Listen, we're saved by grace, but you got to continue in the grace of God. Otherwise, you are a grace abuser. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. But we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God had before ordained that you should walk in them. We're not saved by work, but we're saved to work. We're saved to work. The church that my wife and I grew up in, our pastor's favorite song is "We'll Work Till Jesus Come." Are you working? Are you working? Are you working? Amen. You'd be working for Jesus Christ. And if not, when are you going to start? Amen. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 17, therefore to him who knoweth, here's the knowledge, to do good and do it not, guess what? To him, it's a sin. There's just too many Christians doing their own thing. We know everything and do little to nothing. We know everything. In fact, one of the things that wears me out, because I know a lot of folks, and I get folks that I know I'm not doing anything, but they come up to me, well, I want to know about the wheel in the book of Ezekiel, the wheel in the wheel. I say, you know what? You're a wheel. Amen. I'm not talking to you about any wheels. Amen. I want to talk to you about some feet, some leather. By the way, I don't use a lot of Greek or Hebrew when I preach. You know why? Because most folks don't understand English. You know, especially no, amen. Don't understand no and yes and hush, amen. Amen. Don't understand that. Applying the word of God. And most people anymore are familiar with smartphones. And you know, you can download almost any kind of an app, amen. You can download an app for this, an app for that, an app for this. Well, this morning, I want to take this passage, and I want to show you how to download three Christ-centered apps. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to download some apps for daily living. And an app is a program designed to fulfill a particular purpose. And applying God's word is so important because God is to be glorified. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive riches and glory and honor. Amen. For thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they are and were created. So I want to download some apps this morning. Look at verse number 1. This is app number 1. Notice verse number 1 and 2. And this particular app has four components. Amen. It comes with the condition. Amen. Also, if. It comes with a condition, if. And the implication is that if you don't, amen? If you do it, you're blessed. If you don't, guess what? You come up short. Four components, verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, my son, number 1, if thou will receive my words. If thou will receive my words. Listen, turn with me briefly. I know I don't have a lot of time here this morning, but I want to show you something. Turn to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 44. Luke 9 and verse number 44. Either you're getting your ears tickled or something. Amen? But the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 44, and I'm rushing a little bit. I really don't have as much time as I need to develop this thing, but I hope to impart something to you. Luke 9, 44a. The Bible says, notice this first word, let. That's an act of the will. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. In other words, if it's not going, watch this. If it's not going in and down, this is going in and out. They're called spiritual airheads. And if you're not careful, listen to me. If you're not careful, most of the word of God that you hear will go straight through. You know what I heard? We were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention just a week or so ago. And I heard something I've heard over and over and over. But all of a sudden, it came alive to me. Some pastor said, two of the greatest problems in the church is unforgiveness and bitterness. Bitter! Just a little bitter. Not a lot. A little bitter with mom. A little bitter with dad. A little bitter with the wife. And not enough just to, you know, to prevent you from smiling, but just enough to prevent you from growing. You know, and every time you really think about it, you get a crank. Bitter and unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. Two of the greatest problems in the church today is dry eyes and empty altars. I don't care what Baptist church I preach in. I don't care what faith fellowship church I preach in. I'm going to tell you something. When the pots are rallying, people are happy. When the altar call is given, the altar is empty. And let me tell you something. Now, this brother back here read a prayer list this morning as long as the March of Dimes. And why is it that we're not coming to the altar to pray and ask God to help these people with this cancer and with the surgery and whatever? What's up with that? Why aren't they coming to the altar to pray for the pastor and to pray for the neighbors? Why is that? Not applying the word of God. The Bible says here in verse number 1, if thou will receive my words. Well, guess what? If you don't. The word of God, the Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Yes. Amen? The word of God, Psalms 119 is all about the word of God. I wish I had time to quote you 10 or 15 verses from Psalms 119 about the word of God, about the word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 59, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet to his testimonies. Amen. If thou will receive my words. This is a huge problem in the church. Notice what else he said here in verse number 1. And hide my commandments with thee. The Bible says, amen, in Psalms 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We've got to hide the word of God. Notice verse number 2. So that thou incline thy ear. That is the ear of your understanding. God says, I want your attention. I deserve your attention. I died for you. I love you. I'm coming for you. Listen to me. Yes. There was a time, amen, in America when children would listen to parents or you'd get the snot slapped out of you. You'd listen to them folks. That's all gone now. God says, I want you to incline your ear to me. My mother would just look at you. She said something like, you got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. A lot of Christians are getting the spiritual taste slapped out of their mouth by God because they're not inclining their ear. Notice what else he says. Incline thine ear unto my wisdom and apply thine heart. You understand it? Hey, listen, folks, this is serious. This is serious. More serious than a stroke. Oh, hallelujah. What a savior. Amen. I notice. This is good stuff. Incline your ear and apply thine heart to understanding. This is discretion. This is reason. This is wisdom. The Bible says in the book of, look at Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 5. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Notice what I say, get it. Get it. We have a way of getting whatever we really want, don't we? God said, well, get this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Amen. App 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, to see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. We're to make the best of every moment. Redeeming the time. You know why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me tell you what wisdom is. You know what biblical wisdom is? Just simply knowing right and doing right. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's not complicated. God is not talking about a Philadelphia lawyer. God is sick of Philadelphia lawyers. There's too much education in the church and not enough righteousness. Amen. Much of that. I went to a church out in Iowa one morning, and I drove a long way. I didn't have my wife with me, and I had to hurry to get there. And I got over there, and they told me they were having a carry-in meal, kind of like the one downstairs today. Only they didn't call it a potluck then. I don't know what you call yours, amen. But I came in, and I was Sunday school, and I preached my guts out and whatever and so forth. Nobody said a word. I didn't want an amen. There was not one person that came to the altar. And when I got done, I bolted for the door. They said, "Why aren't you going to eat?" I said, "No." They said, "Why?" I said, "Something's wrong here. Because let me tell you something. As soon as the service was over, when those pots started rattling, let me tell you, them folks got excited. And I took off. I took off. I said, "I'll stop down the street at the Hooper King." Some of y'all know what a Hooper is, right? Some people call them Whoppers. Amen. I call them Hoopers. I said, "I'll get me a Hooper." App 2. Notice verse number 3. The Bible says, if thou criest after knowledge. This is prayer. Amen. This is prayer. You need to call. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about calling on the Lord by name. He has many names. Oh, Lord. You're the lily of the valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the first of 10,000. Help me, Lord. You're the great I am. Help me, Lord. You're Jehovah Nissi. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're El Elyon. You're El Shaddai. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Christ after knowledge. Yea, notice the other part of verse number 3. Lift us up that voice. He's talking about weeping aloud. Crying out to God. Crying out, weeping, snotting, spitting. Oh, Lord. I got to move on. App number 3, verse 4. The Bible says, if thou seekest her as for silver. Wow. Look out. Do you know how many people were killed during the California Gold Rush? Folks driving over those cliffs and everything else with horse and wagon. Notice the next one. And search for her as for hid treasure. There was a picture on television called Bering Sea Gold. They're diving down to the bottom of the sea with suction pipes and whatever, sucking up sand to find gold. They're dying in Alaska right now, digging for gold. But we're doing it right here in Tennessee. Gold. God says, you know what? God is a jealous God. Amen. God is a jealous God. I got to show you. I got to show you just a verse or two about this gold. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, real quick. I know I'm almost out of time, and I know that chicken is stinking downstairs. And if I would do what I'm tempted to do, you wouldn't get no chicken this afternoon. And if you did, it would be as cold as ice. Amen. I'd preach until you run me out of here. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, in verse number 7. By the way, you can search for gold all you want to, but you need to understand this. For we brought nothing into this world. I've never seen a hearse with a Brinks truck following it. Or an Allied moving van. We brought nothing in, and guess what? We're not going to carry anything out. I tease my wife all the time because I got a pair of Stacy Adams that I've never worn but 3 or 4 times. And oh, are they beautiful. I told her, put my shoes on when I die. She said, honey, you're not supposed to have them. I said, tell that undertaker to put on my shoes. notice also here in 1 Timothy verse 11, the Bible says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Fight the good fight. Lay hold. Don't fall off a cliff looking for gold. You already have it. Right here. Notice verse number 5 and 6 of Proverbs 2. 5 and 6. The Bible said then, He said, there's several things here that you have to do first. Now, let me tell you why. There's so much counseling in the pastor's office. Let me tell you why so many Christians are crying the blues. And I'm not trying to put myself up on a pedestal. And I've been in the same church now since 1997. I don't believe in church hopping. But let me tell you something. I've never had to go to my pastor's office for counseling. I pray for the man. I pour water on his hands. I love him. I'm faithful in tithes and offering, encouraging. I'm a missionary at the mission. I can't spend a lot of time there at the church, but you know what? I'm faithful. He loves me. He loves my wife and I. He knows that we're part of the backbone of Dyer Baptist Church. You know why? Because I fear God.
Amen.
Then,
yes.
Hey, I want you to take Proverbs chapter 2, and I want you to go down this list again between verse number 1, just verse number 1 to 4. So you become a then Christian. Then, the Bible says, after you've done this, then, you know, once you've downloaded an app, amen, I've got one on my phone. I went to the app store, and I downloaded me a Bible, amen. And all I got to do is just punch, 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 and there it is.
Amen.
I'm trying to help somebody this morning. And by the way, I didn't do it on my own. I had some help downloading the app, amen. And I'm trying to help you this morning, amen. If you need an app, there's a lot of folks that can show you how to download apps, and that's what I'm up here for this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last but not least, we need to apply God's word that we may be strong. Amen? So that we do not get ourselves led astray. Look at verse number 10, Proverbs 2. I'm almost done. The Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, you know, when you begin to do the thing, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion, amen, shall preserve thee. You know, it's so important that we use discretion in every area of our lives. Understanding shall keep thee. Notice this, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. He's not talking about a pistol toter. He's not talking about someone carrying a gun, robbing banks, shooting folks in the head. That is not the kind of evil man God is talking about. He's talking about these good-looking, educated, sincere, who happen to be sincerely wrong. Some of them in the church. The Bible says in the book of Job, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and guess who came with them? Satan! Showed up too. And the Lord asked the devil, says, where you been? Oh, I'm running up and around in the earth and walking up and down. You haven't considered Pastor Dave, have you? I mean, Miss Flossie, you haven't considered Russell, have you? Or Samantha? You said, well, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he did. He did do it. God said, I want to deliver you from the evil man, but you need to get yourself together first.
Yes.
You need to download some stuff. I had a man that asked me in the hallway recently at the mission, what about you, Pastor? Are you tempted to drink? I said, I don't drink. I'm not talking to you about my temptations. You can't do what you're tempted to do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for letting us preach, not for fame or fortune, Lord, but to the end that someone might believe. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. You don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You want me to pray for it. Wherever you are, just lift up your hands. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. Anyone like that? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? That's a beautiful sign. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not applying the word of God to your life. Some things that you know that God has spoken to you about, but you haven't done it yet. You want me to pray for you. Don't be ashamed to lift your hand. Just lift up your hand real quick and put it down. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. I see those hands. Praise the Lord. Listen, don't harden your heart right now. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. One more time, you hear today, God is speaking to your heart about application of the word of God in your life. Slip up your hand one more time. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. And we thank you for this invitation. We pray that right where these people sit, that while I pray, Lord, that they would pray, that they would confess their sin, and they would get right with you. Lord, thank you for letting us preach. We thank you now for faith, fellowship. We thank you for allowing us to come safely. We thank you for Pastor Dave Scott. Lord, I pray for the town of Tennessee, Illinois, that the membership of this church, Lord, would be active and reach the members or the population of Tennessee with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we thank you. We pray that you continue to bless as we close the service for Christ's sake. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.